Jeremiah chapter 20. It says, now, Pashur, that's me, the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. No, I'm Pashur. Well, it says, it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. So why don't you guys let him go? It's a day later. Go put him in his seat. See if he can behave himself. I think he'll be all right. The Bible says, then Jeremiah said unto him, the Lord has not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Mishabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasure of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. That's what he said to me after we let him go. But let's notice verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Let's pray. Father, today, make this live in our hearts. Oh God, may we see today not only a story, but an application to our own lives. Oh God, may Your Word burn in our hearts. Bless and work in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah prophesied in the last years of the nation of Judah. He was a man who lived in the last reigns of five kings. During this period of time, we find that he has recorded 14 messages delivered to these folks. Seven The seventh of these messages is found in chapter 19 and its results in chapter 20. Go back to chapter 19 with me for just a moment to notice what he says. After having taken a earthen potter's vessel, it says in verse 10, "Then thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of men that go with me, and shall say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, unto the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet." Here we find messages of judgment against a people who had been away from God. We find as we study and read that their sins were a multitude. Basically, we find that they had now begun to worship the god Molech, to whom they would actually sacrifice children in the valley of Hinnom. They had been burning incense unto the Queen of Heaven. They were making burnt offerings to Baal and had built high places to him. They had basically forsaken the God who had brought them into the promised land. In chapter number 3 or chapter number 2 and verse 13, I find that he had summarized it very well. For in that verse it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They had turned their back on God and had taken up with other gods." And we find now that they are almost in the place of judgment. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, weeping because of the people and because of their lack of concern, preaches to them nonetheless. And he gives them the message of judgment. Amidst that judgment message, however, we find there are laced the words of grace, as God always does so. But after this particular message, we find that Pashur, the governor over the temple guards, over the temple police, if you so please, caught Jeremiah and had him placed in stocks after giving him what we believe to have been at least 40 lashes. He was put in the stocks at the northern gate of Benjamin. And there he was held fast for nearly 24 hours. Sean, how would you like to have been in that position for 24 hours? Uncomfortable. Stocks that are not made to do anything but hold you in one place. Not as we experienced or have seen pictures of in our day, where the neck would go in one and the two arms, but the feet and the hands clasped in a bent position. And then he was released. We find and read there that he responded, and he called judgment upon Pashur. Matter of fact, we find that he changed his name from Pashur, which means deliverance roundabout, to Magar-Mishabib, which means terror on every side. He prophesied of the coming captivity into the land of Babylon. This man who was called by God while yet in the womb, we find, however, falls into despair. In verse number 7, he says, "O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me." Not only had he experienced the people of the land ridiculing him and turning from his message, but we find that now he has gone through and experienced persecution with the disgrace of it. And Jeremiah gives his resignation to God. Says, "I'm not going to do it anymore. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in His name. He says, I'm finished. I quit. I'm done. They will not listen, and all they bring to me is torment. But, what do we write? Read. His word was what? In mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. The word of God burned within him. And though he wanted to quit, he could not stop proclaiming the truth because it had been so ingrained within him. We find, as you read on in verse number 10, that his close friends are now watching him, waiting to see if he would make one false move. Notice what it says in verse 10, "For I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my," who? "Familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him." But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Oh, notice this life. This man who had proclaimed the truth, and yet we find that they would not accept him. We find he's in persecution. And finally, we find that he says, I give up. But the word burned within him. And he could not stay. But they still watched. And Isaiah finds confidence in his Lord. And he sees that God is with him as a terrible one. In verse 12 he says, "But O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seeth the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause." And he asks God to take care of his persecutors. "Sing unto the Lord," he says, "praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers." But the chapter does not finish. And Jeremiah, a man like unto ourselves, with like passions as you and I, notice what happens in verse 14. "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man child is born of thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore I came forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame." Depression returns. And Jeremiah, the tremendous prophet of God, says, "I wish I'd never been born." Don't think it unusual. Don't think that you are the only one when moments or even months of despair come upon you. Read the stories of Elijah. Find out what Jonah endures. Look at the person of Job and a host of others, including even some of the lamenting Psalms of David. And you will find that so often the emotions of men come upon them, and depression and despair and distraught reigns over them. But there's something I find with all of those. They continued on. Somehow they kept going. Somehow, as with Jeremiah, that word burned within their soul. I asked the question this morning, what was it that propelled them forward in spite of horrible bouts of despair and depression? What took them on? In spite of the circumstances they face, what caused them to keep on going? What is it about a truly Christ one that, like a Timex watch, though they take a licking, they keep on ticking. What is it? Well, let me suggest a few things to you this morning. Book of Jeremiah, go back to chapter number 1 with me. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." Notice what God says, verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." The place that Jeremiah laments that he wishes he was still at. God says, "I formed thee and I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said to me, Say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I will send thee, and whosoever or whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hands, touched my mouth." That which Jeremiah said he could not use. "And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." I say to you this morning, the reason that word burned in his soul is because God placed it there. God placed it there, first of all, in what I would call a call of salvation. He said, "Even before you were born, I had my hand upon you." We find in verse number 5, Jeremiah saying, "Ah, Lord God." He allowed God to then cancel his excuse of not being afraid. We find that he was in the very presence of God as God said, "I will deliver thee." And what I find is that Jeremiah was consumed with the Word of God. "I have put my words in thy mouth." What makes the difference? When God puts it there. When you and I are willing to finally say, "Lord, this is your word. I am allowing you to put it into my soul." Not just words I read on paper. Not just words I hear with my ears. But I'm allowing it to enter into my very being. Chapter 4, verse number 19. He makes this statement, my bowels." A term that we maybe don't understand completely in our time. But it's referring to the belly and it's referring to that innermost being of the individual. He says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Not only did God place His Word there, but we find that His heart is broken for those who are outside of the grip of God. He looks at those and the situation that they're in, the land that he has grown to love and to adore, is being terrorized by those who do not believe. And we find that he says in chapter 20 and verse number 9 that his word burns like a fire within. Brethren, this morning, I can understand when you and I get frustrated. I can understand this morning when you and I even get angry, sometimes even with God, as Jeremiah did. I can understand when we are in despair. I can understand. But I don't understand. If you get down and you stay there. I don't understand that. I don't understand that because the Holy Spirit of Pentecostal fire, if He is placed within you the heart, into your heart, that wonderful seed of redemption, though it may grow weak, He will not allow it to go out. Though you may go through depression, though you may go through doubts, though you may go through many things, yet I believe this morning that the child of God that has the Word of God that brought his soul out of a pit of hell and placed our feet upon the solid rock is that which can never die out. The Apostle Paul, whom we find had many, many things take place in his life. We find he was imprisoned. We find he was stoned until he nearly died. We find that Paul was lashed. We find that almost every city he went into, I imagine he went to the nearest jail to see where it was at, because it's going to be easy bold for his place of living for long. And yet when he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." Though those whom he was going to speak to would most likely turn against him, yet that word was in his soul and he could not refrain himself. The Lord Jesus, I think, made it very clear. As he looked at those who were unrighteous round about him, he says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" But notice the truth that he says with that. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." I fear this morning that if this was many who proclaimed to be Christ, that though they might rise out of that and proclaim a vengeance upon the person who put them there, may well never speak of him again. I believe there's one reason for it. It was never there to start with. It was never there to begin with. Either you have it and you can't help but give its truth, or you don't have it. It's one or the other. Oh, that fire might be very low right now. You may have not told somebody about Jesus for many months. But if you're a born-again child of God, it's still there. It's still there. And I say to you this morning, you need to rekindle it. You need to ask God to do a change in your life. Ask God to bring back that fire, that love, that joy. Ask God to do that work in the life. Tonight we will be preaching from the book of the Revelation. We'll be looking at the last portion of chapter number 3. It will be a message about the Laodicean church. Some people say that this is the Laodicean era. Some people believe that this is the last of the church ages. I don't know about all that, but I do believe this. God says that He'd rather you be caught hot or cold than to be lukewarm. In other words, Christian, if there's a fire burning there, it's time to let it flame up. There's only one way to do that, really. You ever been at the bonfire? Where's the warmest spot? Very good. You probably knew that before you became a senior in college, right?
I hope so.
Okay. Next to the fire. Close to the fire. Can I say to you this morning that Jesus Christ is the fire? Can I say to you this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is the fire. And our problem today is that we get too far away from the fire. And the only way to change it is to run up close to the fire and get next to it and allow Him to bring back the flames of the heart. Why could not Jeremiah stay from the job? Why could Jeremiah, in spite of the danger, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the depression, in spite of all that was going around about him, why didn't he quit? Because it burned inside. It was there. He couldn't help it. If you can help it this morning, you don't have it. And you need to ask God to give it to you. You need to ask God for the salvation so rich and so free. You need Him. Christian, if the fire's gone low, you need to get close to Him again. Close to Him. Why was Jeremiah in despair? Because he was looking at his problem rather than the problem solver. He was looking at his torment rather than to the Savior. Brethren, Jeremiah is no different than us. And we need to look and see, is the fire burning at all? Is it low or is it high? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, work in our hearts. Oh God, we have yet to really know persecution. We've not been locked in the stocks. We've not been whipped. But, oh Lord, we have experienced distress. We do get discouraged. Lord, we do get distraught. Oh Lord, sometimes we're ready to quit. But oh God, that word, when it burns within, won't allow it. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to inspect. Is it really there? Have we allowed that word to penetrate our soul? To change us so? That in spite of everything, we know deep down inside, we can never quit. Lord Jesus, work in our hearts. Show forth yourself this morning. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.